Anyway, if you have your Bibles, let me go ahead and turn to James chapter 1. That's where we've been at for, I guess, the last 5 or 6 Sunday or maybe 4 Sunday mornings I've preached. Maybe 5 or 6 now. So we're going to the book of James. So we're going to pick up right where we picked off last week. And we're going to pick up in verse 19 of James chapter 1, okay? Now, I'm not going to give a lot of the context or the background for 2 reasons. Number 1, what we're going to look at today, the background doesn't matter quite as much. That doesn't mean that it's not important. We understand it's very important. But obviously, the big thing is that we know that these believers are being persecuted. They're going through trials, temptations. We know that the theme is marked of a mature Christian, okay? And so we've talked about that. If you're a mature Christian, you're going to rejoice in trials. You're going to resist temptation. You're going to, you know, all these things are going to endure, okay? And so today, another mark of maturity that we see here in the book, because they obviously are struggling with this. The book of James, if you look at the background, and basically when you get to chapter 3, you'll see they're struggling with maturity, okay? And so anyway, so this week, we're going to look at living out the Word of God, okay? Living out the Word of God. See, it's one thing to be a believer, but it's another thing to be a mature believer. See, a believer is somebody who believes in the Word of God. And they kind of go hand in hand, really. But a mature believer is somebody who lives out the Word of God, okay? And so that's the thing. So the question, once again, the theme, every sermon should have a theme. When you break down a text, your point should answer one question or one thing. This morning, we're going to look at living out the Word of God. But so how do we do that? How do we incorporate the Word of God into our life? That's really what we're going to answer, okay? This passage is obviously dealing with the Word of God. If you look at verse 21, now, once again, James likes to use illustrations. He loves to use illustrations about nature, too. In verse 21, it says here that the Word of God is like a seed planted in the heart. If you look down at the engrafted word, okay? We'll get back to that later, but that means implanted. The Word of God in verse 24 is like a mirror. It says there, a glass, which is that a mirror, which is actually polished metal. And then the last one here is that in verse 25, it shows that the Word of God is like a law, okay? It says in verse 25, the perfect law of liberty. So this is obviously dealing with the Word of God. So that's really, if you know, when you try to figure the theme out of a passage, you start writing down like different things, and the Word of God keeps coming back up and up. But another thing too, and also kind of a sub-theme, is the fact that this is there's a benefit in living the Word of God. Because look in verse 21, and it said that this Word of God is able to save your souls. And then in verse 25, it says here, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So in a word, so break it down. The theme here is God's word. The theme is not just to know it, but to live it out. And if you live it out, you're going to be blessed. You're going to have good benefits, okay? So really, so the what we want to answer today is how do I do this? How do I live it out? And how do I get to reap the benefits of it? How do I do this? You know, and so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. But here's the thing. Here's reality. Sometimes I struggle to do that. Anybody like me who struggled with living out the Word of God? I know I do. You know, I've got a few others. Okay, yeah. I know I do. So we have to get back to the fundamentals. Once again, the marks of maturity, really the basics of Christianity. And we got to get back to ask ourselves, how do we do this? And that's my hope today that I will answer that question today. How to live out the Word of God. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your many blessings. Lord, I ask you right now, the people sitting here, Lord, you know exactly what they need. And I ask you, Lord, to help them not to hear me, but to hear your Word of God. Lord, we're just taking the Word of God, and we're just kind of breaking it down to where we can understand it and apply it to our lives. Lord, I ask you to help me to deliver correctly. Help me to speak slowly. Lord, help me just to be calm. Lord, help me to speak clearly. And Lord, I ask you, Father, just to anoint me and anoint the people here. In Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's jump right into the first thing here. Number one, if you want to live out the Word of God, you have to accept the Word. You have to accept the Word of God. Let's look in verse 19 through 21. It says here, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of God worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Okay, to understand these verses, you have to understand the background. So what, understand the goal, excuse me. What is the goal of these verses? What is James trying to get these people to do? Well, I can answer that. Anytime you don't know, just keep reading. Look in verse 21. Look at the last phrase there. It says, which is able, It said, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Hey, here's the goal. The goal for these verses that we just read is for them to accept the word of God. And it's for them to receive it. And it's for them to seek it. And so the verse before that answers the question on how to get it. And gives all these instructions. And he said, now what I want you to do is what I just told you. And I want you now to accept it. I want you now to receive it. And that's what the word engrafted, it means, it's a term that means implanted. It's pointing back to the time when the message of Christ was first trusted. So once again, in the context here, he's talking to believers, not unsaved. Okay, so he's saying, I want you as a believer to receive the word. Not for the first time, but I want you to receive the word that you have, that you trusted one time in your life. Now, granted, to be saved, you have to receive the word. We understand that. But that's not what he's talking about. He's saying, I want you to do what I want you to listen to what I'm saying and listen to it because it's what you receive at one time in your life. And that's what he's saying. So this is a clear instruction for saved people. That's what he's saying here. So the instruction here is how to receive the word. So number one, or letter A, excuse me, is how do we do this? How do we accept the word of God as believers? Number one, we acknowledge your incompleteness. So what do you mean? Well, there's really two things that were incomplete in many. Number one, they were incomplete in their knowledge. Look at verse 19. He says, wherefore, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear. Okay? Now, by the way, this is an imperative. It's a command. It's a command to listen. The fact that James commands his listeners to listen, it suggests the need to desire to learn. Think about that. You know, when you were a kid, your dad or your mom said, I want you to listen. You don't know it all. Right? Now, I want you to listen. Just be quiet. Be quiet. Just listen. Why were they saying that? Because they knew as a child that we didn't know what we were doing. The same thing is true here. If you're going to accept the word of God, even as a believer, you've got to come to the point where you realize that you don't know it all. You have to understand that you're incomplete in your knowledge. That's the thing. That's what he's saying. He's simply saying, look, if you're going to accept the word of God, even in salvation, you have to accept it because you understand I'm incomplete. I'm a sinner, and I need Jesus to help me. Well, even as a saved person over here, you have to realize, hey, I don't know it all, and I need somebody to help me, and that somebody is God, and he gives us God's word. So that's the thing. Before we can go any further, we have to admit the fact that we still need help. We're incomplete in our knowledge. But not only in our knowledge, but also in our conduct. Look at verse 19, the second part. It says, let him be slow to speak and slow to wrath. Well, what is he saying here? He's saying he's incomplete in his knowledge or conduct, excuse me, by the command to be quiet, the command to be slow to speak. He discourages them because, like what Solomon said, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. He said, I need you to quit talking. He said, I need for you to quit talking because when you start talking, when you start conducting yourself, most of the time it's not right. He said, I want you to be slow to wrath. He said, I want you to be slow to get angry. Well, why? Well, look at verse 20, it tells us. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now, we understand. Some of you may say, well, wait a minute. He said, be angry and sin not. And that is true. But here's what one writer said. As a general rule, the wrath of man does not lead to righteous actions. Let's be honest. That's true. Oh, yeah, we can We can get angry and sin not. But let's be honest, when we get angry, is that usually what happens? No. Usually when we get angry, we sin. When we get angry, we're not conducting ourselves the way that we are supposed to. And that's the thing, that's the goal. And James is trying to get them to understand that if you are to receive the word, and he said, this is what he said, I want you to be quiet and listen. And I want you to be slow to act. Why? He said, because you don't know it all. And even what you think you know, you usually don't get right when you start acting on it. That's what he's saying. He's saying you're incomplete. He said that the only way for you to seek the word of God is to know that you're not perfect. And to know that you get it wrong most of the time. That's what he's saying. He's saying if you're ever going to if you're ever going to turn to the Bible every day, you have to wake up in the morning and not say, you know what, I'm pretty smart. I'm pretty wise. No, he said, you got to get up and say, man, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I should do in this situation. And then go to the Word of God and say, you know what? What am I supposed to do in this situation? When we get to that point, that's when we'll start incorporating or living out the Word of God. And a person who realizes to seek the Word of God because they know they're incomplete in their knowledge and they're incomplete in their conduct. To benefit or to live out the Word of God, you have to accept it. But to receive it, you have to understand or acknowledge your incompleteness, but also deal with your iniquity. That's letter B. You have to deal with your iniquity. Look at verse 21. All right, so now we come to the point we realize that we're incomplete in our knowledge. We're incomplete in our conduct. But now we have to deal with our iniquity. Let's read the verse. It says, wherefore, lay upon all filthiness. What does that mean? Well, that's what he's trying to say. He's saying, you know how you deal with your iniquity, which is sin? You forsake it. He's saying, you forsake your sin. The word there, lay upon. If you look in the Greek, it's the idea to peel off. It's the idea to take off your clothes, mainly your dirty clothes, and it's the idea that you push them away. Now, except for me, most people don't wear dirty clothes. Now, you might like me, I wear my dirty clothes. I wear clothes all the time, you know. I get my dirty clothes, iron them. Yeah, I don't care. You know, I mean, I just don't see who wrote that you can only wear something one time. Anyway, we won't go. But most people, when they get to have something dirty, they lay it over and they don't pick it back up. That's how you deal with your iniquity. That's how you deal with it. You forsake it, and you don't pick it back up. That's what he's saying there. He said, I want you to lay apart. So I want you to lay apart all filthiness. And the idea of putting away. And also, what's interesting here, if you look in the Greek, another statement of the fact that it means to leave alone, that verb tense is an aorist. That don't mean a lot to me, but if you look up the word aorist, It's a simple, complete action, not continuous. Okay? So it's the ideal that you must, it's a one-time deal. You know, some things are continuous. You know, I want you to pray. I want you to continue like that, participle. It's not a participle. It's an aorist tense. I mean, when you lay it down, that's it. You know, it's not the idea, well, I laid it down today. Well, I picked it back up. Let me lay it. No, it's the idea that when you want to apply the word of God, you deal with your iniquity, you lay it down, and you don't go back to it. Now, we can balance that with the fact that we all going to sin, but that's when he's saying, I want you to lay it down, peel it off, and be done with it. That's how we're going to live out the word of God. The thought here is to forsake your sin. It's the idea of peeling your clothes off. It's the ideal, we'll get to it in a minute here, is to pull out weeds, okay? Of the garden. It's ideal, you know, look with me in verse 21. And he said the engrafted word. That's a planting terminology. So what he's saying here, he's saying that the word receive is the ideal of a garden. He's saying, I want you to remove, kind of like taking weeds. So like I said, take off the dirty clothes. If you're in a garden, you got weeds. I used to have to pull out weeds in the garden. I used to hate it, but you know, and take it and pull it. What do you do with it? Do you put it back in the garden? No. Throw it out. That's how your sin is supposed to be. So he's saying it's like a gardening terminology. If you're going to receive the word of God, you've got to get the sin out of your life. You remember saying, your sin will keep you from the word of God on the Word of God will keep you from sin. So that's what you have to do. You're not going to be able to read God's Word and apply it if you're in sin. You got to forsake, it's not a matter of just getting down here, Lord, forgive me of my sin. It's, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I'm not going to do it anymore. And you get up and you quit doing what you was doing. That's what forsaking your sin is. Everybody feels sorry for sin. Like the idea of confession, Proverbs says, that mercy comes through confession and forsaking your sin. Don't ask me where it's at, but it's in Proverbs, I promise you. But hey, how do you forsake your iniquity? You have to admit your iniquity. Verse 21. You have to admit your iniquity. It says there, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. The meekness there, it suggests gentleness and mildness. The New American Standard Bible says this, in humility receive the word of God. Let me be honest, when do we get humble? When do we get the best case of humility? When we failed. You know, when are you the most humble? When something messed up? I don't think I know it all now. And he said, look, for you to receive it, you have got to admit. You got to forsake it. But before you can even forsake it, you first have to come to realize that, hey, I have sinned and I am wrong. And you have to say, I am going to humble myself. And that's the only person who will apply or accept the word of God. It's the person who says, hey, I know I don't know it all. I'm incomplete. And it's the person who says, I know that my conduct is not always right. I know I don't know it all. I know that I have iniquity. I know I have sinned. And that's the person who will accept the Word of God. See, this accept the Word of God. You know, we talk about, you know, to get saved, you got to realize you're a sinner. Romans 3:23. That's right. But even as a saved person, you still got to admit that and say, oh man, I don't have it all together. That's what happens. We got a lot of people who say they're saved and may be saved, but they forgot the fact that you still got to humble yourself every day. If you don't humble yourself, you're not going to read the Word of God. I mean, hey, let me be honest. The days I skip my Bible reading, you know what I'm saying? I don't need God today. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I got it all together. I understand. Now, I'm not saying, the Bible doesn't say you have to read your Bible every day. You know, 30 minutes a day or 2 hours every other day. You know, I'm not going to be that legalistic. But it's a principle that you're, what you're saying, if you never read the Word of God, and you're saying, I got this under control. But here's the problem. The reality, you don't. Just look at the world. The human ain't got it figured out. And that's what we have to do. So to live out the Word of God, you have to accept the Word of God. But number two, and this is where the meat comes in, really, you have to apply the Word of God. See, it's not enough just to accept it. We have a lot of people who accept the Word of God. Oh, yeah, the Word of God, it's the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. I love it. You know, it's the greatest thing in the world. I just love to go to it and get my inspiration. Well, do you apply it? Because if you're going to live out the Word of God, you have to apply what you have accepted. Okay, see? And it kind of builds on itself. You've got to accept it, but when you accept it, you have to apply it. And that's what we see here. And let's look here. Because James didn't stop. James didn't stop. In verse 22, he says this. And said, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. First thing we see here is that it is clear in James' instructions that we're supposed to apply the Word of God. That's what he said, that he gives them instruction. And he says this word, be a doer. Now, it was interesting, that word doer is used only 6 times in the New Testament. You know how many times we see it in James? 4. So out of the 6 times the Bible, the New Testament, uses the word be a doer, James got 4 of them. So right here, James instructed them on to be a doer. So then the next question I had to ask myself, well, what are they doing? Well, let me give you a few definitions or some commentaries. Number one, to be a doer of the word is to submit to authority and to comply with its requirements. Okay, that's pretty good. Be may be more literally rendered become ye, or meaning maybe show yourself to be. The tense of the Greek word is expressive of a continuous action. So here it is. Keep on becoming. That's what it means to be a doer, to keep on becoming. See, again, we understand, I'll give you a little theology here. When you're saved, you become sanctified. That's positional sanctification. That means when Jesus looked down on you, you are saved on the way to heaven. But there's anything called progressive sanctification. That means as I'm living my life, before I get to heaven, I'm going to become more like Christ. That means you're progressing. You're becoming more and more like Him. You're growing in the Word. You're going from the milk to the meat. But then when you die, you are perfect. Your sanctification has been complete. Complete sanctification. Okay, so that's what you have. So that's what you say here again. You, as a believer, ought to become. Continuing to become. You ought to continue to apply the Word. And it's great that you applied the Word to get salvation. I applied, Jesus said, believe on Him, and that's what I've done. Amen. But that's not supposed to stop right there. It's supposed to continue to apply the Word of God. And here's what another guy said. The man who responds to the demand of the Word, only now and then, who acts by impulse and intervals, is not a real doer. Oh, that's the person, this week, I had a bad week. I almost had a big accident. Let me go follow the Word of God for a little while. That's not a doer. A doer is somebody who is continuing every week. Now, that doesn't mean they're perfect. It means that there's an attitude and desire to become more like Christ. And he's saying that I'm going to continually go to the Word of God for everything in my life. My relationship, my entertainment, the way I treat my wife, the way I treat my husband, what I watch on TV, whatever it is, I'm going to apply the Word of God because I know that all the things affect me and I want to make sure that Christ is the most important thing. So we have to be instructed here to be a doer. We have to understand the meaning, but then we have to be informed. It says here, look at me, it says here, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. So we got to be a doer. We understand what that means now, but then we got to be informed. Deceiving your own selves. Here's the thing. James teaches that one who thinks he is sufficient just to be a hearer is deceiving himself. So here's what he's saying. He's saying, it's not good enough to come to church, sit on the pew, and hear what I'm saying, and then go out and say, man, I'm doing really good. And he's saying, don't deceive yourself. If all you do is come to church, and that's it, and you hear what I say, and that's it, or what the Word of God says, and that's it, then you're deceiving yourself. That's not good enough. It's not good enough to have a bunch of knowledge. He said, what you got to do is you've got to be a doer. You've got to quit believing this lie that hearing it alone is enough. Now, I'm not saying hearing is very important. It's the first step. But if that's where you stop at, then you're just lying to yourself. So we see that James' instructions are clear. But in case you're still confused, we have James confirms what he is teaching in his illustration. So he said, I want you to apply the Word. He said, I'll give you some instructions. But he said, well, maybe you're still kind of like me, you're hard-headed. Let me give you an illustration. And that's what he does here. Let's look at these next verses. He said, for if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. So here's the story. We got a man. He got a mirror, okay? Why he didn't have a woman, I don't know. But because my wife looks in the mirror a lot more than I do. So, anyway. But, I asked her, have you not figured this thing out after, 10, 15 years of getting ready? Act like it's a brand new day, Anyway. So I've got my style perfected. I do the same thing, all the time. So anyway. Anyway, that's part of the story. When the word glass there, it means a mirror, okay? And back then what he was referring to was a piece of metal that was polished shiny where you could see yourself in it. And he says this, there's a man here who's got a mirror and he's looking at himself. And he perceives himself. He sees himself and what's interesting here. And that it means man perception leaves himself for something to be desired. And that's the truth, okay? When you look in the mirror, there's very few time that you don't do anything, right? I mean, even me. When you see yourself, it exposes a problem. Okay, there's very few time I can go right now and look in the mirror and I'll go like this, not gonna do any good, but my hands are, but we all look in the nose, That's what we all do. We very rarely do we not see something that's wrong. But here's what he does. He does nothing. This man here, he's looking in the mirror and did nothing. And forget what manner he is. So what's the lesson? There is no benefit in just looking in the mirror. You have to do something. That's what he's saying. He said, you have to. Here's the problem. The man didn't make any changes. I mean, what good, let me be honest. What good is this morning I got up, and believe it or not, I looked in the mirror. Let me tell you, I should have came to church and not done anything. That would be a good illustration. You know, just came, put my suit on, and just came, didn't do anything to my hair, or whatever. You know, you would say, man, what did you do? And I would say, I looked in the mirror, and you would say, no, you didn't. Because you would say, there's no way you look in the mirror and not do something. Because when looking in the mirror produces a change, it makes you do something. It exposes a problem. But here's the thing. That's what that man did. The man actually forgot. And he's saying, here's what he's saying. He's saying that describes a lot of believers, or so-called believers. They're looking in the mirror, we're not making any changes. And how dumb? Well, he said, how stupid is that? Same thing true spiritually. How dumb that is to look in the Word of God, but not making any changes. So what's the remedy? I thought, he says, this really was kind of, I was kind of perplexed a little bit. If you look at verse 25, you know, I was kind of thinking, how do I put this together? I was really trying to figure out my point. What the remedy? You know what the remedy is? Look at verse 25. He keeps the same imagery of a mirror. He says this, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. See that word looketh? He's still talking about the mirror. He's saying, here's the remedy. Hey, you're like this man. I'm like this man. Let's be honest. We all do it. We all do what he said. We look in the mirror and then we don't do anything. We look in the Word of God and we don't change. And then what's the remedy to this? How do I go from just looking to doing? He said, look into the perfect law. The idea was to keep looking. Looketh, the word study here, looketh has a sense of looking carefully, closely, seriously into a thing. It speaks of stooping down and see an object more clearly or to know it better. It's not just a glance, you know? It's the idea that you see something, huh? And you, what is that? The dirty dish that I glance at. No. You know, that's not what he's saying. And I want you to study. That's what we do. That's how most of us do with the TV. We study the TV. We look at it. We gaze into it. We give it all our attention. That's what we do with the Word of God. He's saying, once again, think about this for a minute. If you, you know, took a mirror 24/7, if you walked around and had a mirror right in front of me all the time, well, I might have woke up with bad hair. I might have said, I don't care about the hair. But if every time I turned around, there's a mirror right here, you know what I'd eventually do? I'd fix that hair. It'd finally get on my nerve. It would finally bother me enough that I can't take it anymore. That's what the Word of God does. And if you continue to look in it every day, yeah, you may not fix it today, but if you keep looking in it, you are going to fix it. Or you're going to quit looking. That's why, once again, people come to church. That's why people don't come to church not living right. Because there's only two things. There's either to get right with God or quit coming. That's the thing. And that's exactly what you have to do to apply the Word of God. You have to continue to look in it. Not just one day, but continually look in it. And if you continue to do that, guess what? It's going to get a hold of your heart. And you know, you might put it down one day and say, you know, I don't know if I buy that. But if you open the Bible again the next day, you start reading like, man, he's right. It's everywhere. Then that's when you're going to make a change. Just like that. And if I had a mirror with me every day, I would keep fixing everything, you know. Now, most people take a picture. Anybody done that? You know, took a picture, a selfie? You know, like that? That's what he's saying. I want you to continue to look in the Word of God. Now, it says here, but whosoever looks into the perfect law and continue therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. Here's the thing. If you want to live out the Word of God, you have to fully apply it. And here's the thing. You have to fully apply it full time. You know, I'll just say this as a side note. People who live opposed to God's Word for like 5, 10 years, 1 year, and then all of a sudden, they say, oh, I messed up. I want to apply the Word. It's not going to happen. It's not going to change your life in 5 minutes. You can't live the Word of God for 5 minutes and expect everything to be rosy. Okay? Like that. It's the right thing to do, but it's not going to change your life overnight. You can't. I want to redo. Don't work that way. The blessings come from living out the Word of God long term, full time. So to live out the Word, number one, you have to accept the Word. Number two, you have to apply the Word. And then thirdly, and finally, you have to affirm the Word. You have to affirm what you apply. So what do you mean by that? Affirm. Well, affirm means affirmation. It's the idea that it's stated as fact. So here's the problem. Everybody claims to apply the Word. Everybody claims it. There's no one who's not saved when they die. You know what people on that? Oh, they're saved. And they're on the way to heaven. They're in heaven. Not everybody who dies in heaven. Okay, just so you know that. Here's the thing. Everybody said they apply it, but they don't. That's why he's writing this. Because the people he's writing to, they are claiming it, but they're not applying it too. So here's the thing. You have to affirm. You have to ask yourself, am I really doing what I say I'm doing? And here's a couple of tests. Letter A, your talk will match your talk. So what do you mean by that? You don't get crazy. Look at verse 26. It says, if any man of you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceive his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So right here we have one man's opinion. Well, that's what it means to be religious. It's the idea of somebody who claims, I'm a believer. Oh, I love the Word of God. You know, it's amazing to me. I'll be honest with you. And when they find out, I tell somebody I'm a preacher, on the top, the conversation just changes. I'll be honest with you, I like to talk about fishing and stuff. I told somebody, my hobby is not going to church. I love church, but it's not my hobby, okay? But the minute you tell somebody you're a preacher, they think that's all you do. And I'm thinking to myself, you ain't got to prove anything to me. It ain't me that you got to be worried about, you know? But they'll start talking. And the ones are doing, they're claiming all these things. Oh, I love Jesus. I love the Word. He's saying, that's what this person doing. When he says, I seem to be religious, he's saying he's talking. He's claiming to be a spiritual person. But then what he said. He said, if he does not bridle his tongue, but he deceives his own heart. He said, his own speech, one's own speech will tell on him, you know. He said, if he does not bridle his tongue, it means control it, then he's not really religious. Which that's pretty convicting. We'll see later that they had a problem talking. And in chapter 3, he says this. You know, anybody can control the outward, but no one can control the tongue. It's small, but powerful. And so here's the thing. If you see somebody who's claiming it, but they're not speaking the way they need to, whether it's their speech, whether it's their gossip, that's what it's literally saying there. Now, that's the interpretation. There's only one interpretation, and only many application. So that's the application here, which will bring me to my next point here, sub-point, is your talk will match your walk will match your talk. Okay? So once again, so the application to the first one here can be the fact that, not just speech, but anything. If they claim this, but then they don't live it out, then, you're not religious. You're lying to yourself. But that's what he says, go on down in verse 27. He says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the fatherless, and the father is there, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Here's the thing. If you're claiming it, your speech is going to back it up, okay? Your talk is going to match your talk. But then, if you claim to be, if you say, I am applying the Word of God, here's how you can affirm it. You ready? Your walk will match your talk. And it'll be evident in two things. Number one, personal holiness. That's what he says there. Okay? He says, what did he say? He said, to keep, undefiled before God, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's the ideal of being holy. Personal holiness. Okay? Now, none of it's going to be perfect, but the ideal that you strive to live the way the Bible says, not the way I say. It doesn't matter. I told kids when I taught in Christian school, it doesn't matter what I think. I don't care. I don't want you to do what I tell you to do. I want you to do what the Word of God says. And hopefully what I'm telling you, I'm backing up with the Word of God. I don't want you to go ahead and do what I said. I want you to go ahead and do what the Bible says. That's what God wants. And so he's saying here that you will be, it'll be evident by personal holiness. But number two, it'll be evident in compassion for others. That's what it says here. To visit the fatherless, to visit the widows, is the idea that you have compassion for other people. What's the greatest commandment in the Bible? To love God with all your heart and to love others as yourself. That right there incorporates the whole Ten Commandments. The first four Ten Commandments is about your relationship to God, and the other six is your relationship to mankind. So right here he's saying, you need to live holy for God, but then you need to live right with other people. So it just encompasses the whole Bible, what he's doing. He's saying, your walk will match what you say. You go ahead and say, I apply the Word of God, and the way you live will be evident by the way. That's how you affirm on really doing that. Here's the thing. I think there's some people who are genuinely believing that they are applying the Word of God. Now, I think they do. I think they think when they quote it, I said on Wednesday night, I think when they, put up a Facebook post, they think that's what it means. I'm applying the Word of God. There's nothing wrong in that. But if that's all you're doing, then you're missing the mark. I think there's people who really think they've got affirmation that they're doing this. But here's the thing. Let's be honest. Some people come up, let me give you a little illustration, we'll be done. Some people walk up and be like, you're eating a Snickers bar. I've been on a diet for 2 months. I'm like, okay. I'm thanking them for, there's no way. And you say, why do you say that? Because the evidence, they've not changed. I mean, they don't look any different. I had a cousin who did P90X. He did it 90 days straight. And people started coming up to him and asking him if he had some sickness. Because he was so skinny. Because he was stubborn. He said, I'm going to do the whole thing. And I've seen other people who claim, I've done P90X. What? There's no way. There's no affirmation there. What they're claiming that they've applied to the law isn't evident in their action. I'm like, there's no way. So you can say all day, hey, I'm applying the Word of God. Well, let me ask you, are you even reading it? I mean, if you're not open to the Word of God in 6 months, you're not applying it. If you haven't been in church regular, you're not applying the Word of God. There's no, because you know why? Because you don't know it. You haven't forgot it. That's what he said. You gotta keep looking. And like that, and if your life isn't lining up with the Word of God, it doesn't matter what you say, it will be affirmed by what you do, not what you say. Here's the thing. As we close, I'm going to ask the piano player to come up. This is what a mature believer does. A mature believer accepts the Word of God. That only comes by knowing. And it only comes by knowing your incompleteness, and it only comes by dealing with your iniquity. But here's the thing. It's not enough to accept just the Word. I think it's great. I've got an uncle who's not saved. He'll tell you, this is the Word of God. Jesus is the only way. But all he has done is accepted it. He's not applied it to his life. Here's the thing. You have to apply it. But if you have applied it, it will be affirmed by the way you live and by the things you do and the habit that you have created. It will be affirmed. So let me ask you this morning, is it affirmed in your life? As I begin to play, now stand up and let me ask you, are you doing the Word of God? Are you continually becoming the believer that Jesus wants you to? Here's the thing. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you profess. It matters what you are living. It'll be proved by your actions. As they play, if God has dealt with you today, I want to simply ask you, why do I encourage you to come down here and talk to God?